Welcome to the second episode of the Black and Blue Podfidential, part of the College Crosscast Network. My name is Seif Akadu, and my co-host for the show is none other than Liquid Smoke himself, Adam Epstein. Adam, what's going on, kid? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Seif. I imagine not as good as you, but I'm ready for the season to start. I'm sick of reading the takes online. I'm just ready to watch some actual Hopkins lacrosse. But yeah, I'm excited.
No, you know, I'm going to follow Jake and Ryan's guidance, and I'll keep the Eagles stuff to a minimum. But no, I'm feeling super, obviously. But I feel even better that the season for Hop starts in 3 days. So, I mean, I really can't wait for the season to go. So I think we're going to be good.
My only worry is that I tweeted this to you earlier. Since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, that gives Hopkins no chance of succeeding this year, because there's no way you would get two championships in 1 year. So the sports gods are not that kind to anybody. So it concerns me a little bit.
But when the Pats lose, that was 2011, right? To the Giants. Hopkins had a really great team that no one thought, except you and I, probably in the message boards before we knew who each other were. You know, it was a great season. We just got snuck up on by Denver, and then 2007 when they lost, Hopkins won the title. So maybe you know, the Pats' misfortune is our gold. So hopefully, you know.
Yeah, I can only hope.
Well, yeah, like I said, I'll keep the Eagles stuff at the end. But speaking of actual games that should have been televised, that's a bad transition. But you saw a little bit of the Hopkins Marquette scrimmage. What did you think? We'll talk about the changing of the numbers after.
Well, I wasn't at the scrimmage. I've seen highlights, and I've spoken to people who were at the scrimmage, and by all accounts, the defense is looking considerably better than it did at the end of last season. I mean, it's kind of hard for it not to be, but they only allowed 6 goals, and that was after only allowing 7 goals to High Point, 9 goals to Army in the fall. So, you know, keep that up, and we'll have something going. I know Tinney had a bunch of goals, so clearly his risk, whatever the issue was, is no longer remotely an issue. Shout out to Joel. We're sorry if we got your injury wrong. You know, we're just talking here. We're just two guys talking on a podcast. But Tinney definitely looks ready to play. He's fully back and in action, so nothing to worry about there. Yeah, I know Marquette's a pretty good team, but glad to see Hopkins play well in the scrimmage. And one thing I thought was interesting is they're a very similar team to Towson, and we'll get to Towson in a second, but, you know, very defense heavy. Some new faces on offense. They like to slow it down a little bit on offense. So I think it was a really good prep team to play before Towson.
No, Marquette is, you know, obviously well coached with Coach Amplo, and that's a, you know, excellent test to go through the season. You know, they obviously won the Big East tournament last year and got into the NCAAs, and that's a very strong program. So I was happy to see that. But you know, we're on to Towson, and how are you feeling about Towson?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they're good. They were a Final Four team last year. They return their entire starting defense, and, you know, the captain, Sean Nadelin, always has a good defense, so, you know, they're going to be tough to score on. The question for them is they have an entirely new offense. You know, they graduated Ryan Drenner and Joe Sider and a few other guys, so they will have a completely new starting six, I think. And they return one midfielder, John Mazza. But other than that, they've got a bunch of transfers. A couple of them are Canadian, so they might have a different, you know, flair on offense than what we're used to. The upside of that is, you know, all new faces on offense, they probably need a few games to gel. They're probably not going to be playing with the most chemistry immediately. But the downside is I have no idea how we're supposed to prepare for to play an offense where we've never seen these guys play before. You know, there's no film to watch.
Yeah, I've feel exactly what your trepidations, because I you know they're coming back with three IL preseason media All Americans, Goodrich, Shortstick, you know, one of the banes of Hopkins' season the last couple of years, Alex Woodall at faceoff, and Sid Ilwell at defense. So you know, even though that Coach Nallen's had to like kind of replenish the cupboard, he's still coming out with like, you know, pretty solid defense, and a, you know, good guy face off. So this is going to be like really tough game for Hopkins. I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, our offense, which I think we both think is going to be pretty dynamic. But this is a, you know, a really good test. And Towson has won the last two out of 3 years. So it's not like, you know, this has been a cakewalk. Since Nallen's been the coach of the Tigers, they've been, you know, one of the fiercest local rivals out there, and we, you know, we obviously have some great ones with Loyola and Maryland.
Yeah, and last year Alex Woodall just completely dominated us, and you know, we couldn't, they just totally controlled the game. They won like 70-80% of the faceoffs, and you know, we, you know, hung in there a little bit, but never really had a chance to get back in the game because we just didn't have enough possessions. Silver lining to that, of course, is Hunter Moreland didn't play in that game. He was hurt. I think he came back the game after that to Syracuse. Yeah. So obviously, having Hunter Moreland back and hopefully healthier than he was last year should make a difference. There's no way that I don't see Woodall dominating faceoffs quite like he did last year with Moreland back in the fold. But that will be an interesting battle to watch at the faceoff X. And against a team like Towson, that's going to slow it down probably on offense. Every possession counts. You know, it's really important to be able to get our offense the ball. You don't want to get, you know, in too deep of a hole, because you know that, like, if Ohio State plays a similar way, and then they played us really tough last year, beating us twice. So, you know, if you are down two or three goals, it's really tough to get back in the game. Unlike against a team like Virginia or Princeton or whoever, who will push the tempo and, you know, allow you to creep back in the game and give you opportunities. Towson's not that kind of team. If they ever get a lead, they'll, you know, they'll choke you out. What is it? What we call the Natalin, was it the death trap?
Just a choke out. It just chokes you out. No, you're exactly right. And like, I think with Towson, they obviously like to play like a measured pace, but they can score in bunches. And because they have such a good faceoff guy, like they're great at disrupting what you are good at. Like Hopkins, like, likes to have possessions, likes to take a lot of shots. And if all of a sudden you don't get the ball, like, you know, only two or three times in one quarter, and then one of those possessions is a quick shot that's pretty much a turnover. Like, that's what Towson does. And then, you know, it's only like a couple goals in the first. And then next thing you know, they did last year, they scored four goals in the second. And then, you know, you go into the halftime with a two-goal deficit. And just, you know, they like it when they shorten the game, but they can spring on you in their attack. So it'll be different, obviously, because they have to fill a lot of holes. But if there's one guy who is really good at recruiting kids who play at like a D1 level, maybe got a little bit overlooked, it's Coach Nadalin. So this is going to be a strong test for the Jays.
Yeah, and, you know, the forecast right now is calling for rain. So, you know, the weather combined with early season jitters and maybe some sloppiness and turnovers, Towson being strong on defense and Hopkins potentially being stronger on defense than they were last year, I think it's looking like a low scoring game. I'm going to go with like a 9-7 type game. I'd be surprised if 20 goals were scored in this game. And you know, people are going to complain that, you know, we could be watching Albany score 400 goals, but this is like a great top 20 game, in-state rivalry. Towson's literally 15 minutes up the street from Hopkins. You know, a lot of tradition there, a lot of good games. So I'm happy it's back on the U. I don't know about anybody else, but you know, I think it'll be a good game, even if it is a little defensive heavy.
No, we'll get to that. The TV one, we'll definitely get to that. But you're exactly right on like the over-under. Again, we do not endorse gambling whatsoever. This is strictly for information and entertainment purposes. But Hopkins favored by 1.5 by Lax Vegas lines. And over-under is only 21.5. So if one team gets into double digits, you know, should be able to, you know, take this one out. But like, I think that's what Towson does, keeps the game close, and it was only a one or two possession game in the fourth, and then it just sneak up on you. So I'm kind of concerned a little bit.
I'd probably hit that under 21.5. I don't think they're going to score 22 goals.
The only way they do that is Hopkins blows it up a little bit. You know, they just have like a big second quarter and then, you know, get another six goals in the second half. So,
yeah, I mean, even like an 11-10 game is not going to get you to that over. And I'd be surprised if both teams are in double digits. You know, we'll see. I mean, maybe Towson's offense clicks faster than people think they will. And maybe Hopkins is able to, you know, penetrate the Towson D a little bit, throw some new looks at them that Natalie hasn't seen yet. And I'm speaking of that, I know we should talk a little bit about new faces on Hopkins that might, you know, contribute this year.
Yeah. Do you want to talk with Patrick Foley? I mean, I know we've been, I don't know if he's that new, but, you know, he wasn't on the team last year, and he's obviously going to be just a huge piece for the defense. I saw, like, that Lax Lacrosse Magazine article on him. Did you see that before the show? Like, kind of alluded that he may not be playing, but it didn't even kind of address it in the article. So it's a weird title. I'll put it in the post. But he's definitely, like, a new face and. I mean, I don't want to hog the mic here, but obviously our boy Connor. I think I'm really excited to see him get out there. And if the scouting reports on Lax Power are true, like he looks like he could start, you know, first game of the season as a freshman. So that's going to be a big, something pretty exciting to anticipate just before the game.
Yeah, for sure. Back on Foley for a second. I hadn't seen that article actually, but I am excited for him to be back. I know Quint said he looked really good in the Marquette scrimmage. I think he said in his write up on Inside the Cross that Foley himself is worth two goals or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to hear. You know, I can't speak for the entire game, obviously, only from the brief highlights. That were posted on YouTube. Shout out to Hunt VA. He films all of Hopkins' scrimmages. It's really awesome. Anyway. Oh,
blessed. Blessed.
He looks like aggressive. He looks like quick. He looks like he's going to be able to, you know, cover a lot of great number one attackmen. And he's going to need to, given, you know, the types of attackmen that Hopkins will play this year. And Pat Spencer, Chris Cloutier, Mike Sowers, Michael Krause, you know, Jared Bernhardt, Trey LeClaire, the list goes on and on and on and on. Grant Amen, if he's healthy. So, you know, those are the types of players that Foley's going to be matched up with, I assume. And, you know, based on early reports, it looks like he's hungry and ready to get back out there.
Well, the thing with Foley that's so exciting is, like, Hopkins says, like, you'll see, like, these dynamic freshman defensemen, like, going from, like, Michael Evans to Tucker Durkin, Nick Fields last year. Like, as soon as they get on campus, they're starting. You know what I mean? Like, you just know. And that's something we lost last year with that Foley. But him being back and looking as good as as reporters do have looked, like, it's going to be great. Because if you can just get that kid – then just be the shutdown defender, like, it really helps out the defense. And, you know, with our goalie situation with Brock, like, excited for him to start a new season. So, like, having a short defense with him up there and Rapine, I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah, Rapine could probably cover a lot of number one players, and I think people sort of expected him to coming into this season, given they weren't sure what Pat Foley's situation was going to be. So Rapine was sort of groomed to be that number one defenseman and prepared, I guess, to take over that role. So it's kind of a blessing that, you know, now we have two guys who theoretically are number one defensemen or could potentially turn into number one defensemen. Like I've said, you know, a million times, it's going to be a really young defense, certainly much younger and not quite as experienced as a Hopkins defense as used to be. But, you know, maybe that's a good thing given the defense hasn't been very good last year. I know Petra is probably simplifying the schemes a little bit, letting them get after it, you know, throw some checks, go after some, cause turnovers, you know, wreak some havoc. Not, it's not going to be such a regimented, you know, system as it tends to be. So I think that's the right approach to go with a young defense, which is sort of just let them fly around and, you know, go after the ball. And I think they, Hopkins has the athleticism at the defensive end this year to be able to do that. So, you know, that's the optimistic side. You know, the pessimistic side is the defense, like, really needed so much work towards the end of the last year, and it may take more than 1 year for it to totally turn around and for these young guys to gel into a unit. So I guess we'll see. I don't know if Towson's going to be, you know, the greatest way for Hopkins to evaluate how far their defense has come, given that they're not exactly the most dynamic offensive team. Well, at least we're not expecting them to be, but, you know, they'll quickly be tested in the next few weeks in Loyola, North Carolina, and Princeton.
If they hold Towson at 8 goals, like, that's an A for the defense, in my opinion. Like,
anything below 10, I think, is a solid outing, because you're banking on Hopkins being able to score 10 goals.
Yeah, that's what, if it, like, a 10-8 game would be just fine, you know, for me. But
absolutely.
Did you want to talk a little bit about the uniforms? Like, I know that's been kind of a topic, you know, across Twitter about switching uniform. I love it. I love every minute of the disinformation campaign going on. Like, it's a fun part of lacrosse. I know it's more difficult for media members, but I mean, is it really that? You know, you're not storming a beach in Normandy. You know, it's just like, oh, you got to figure out what number the guy is, and then keep score. You know, all you have to do is keep score of the guy who's the number, the score, and then after the game, figure out the number. You know, so it's not that. But
yeah, I agree. I understand, you know, the frustrations of lacrosse media members trying to cover these scrimmages, but at the same time, you know, they are just scrimmages. I don't think, like, these teams and the coaches necessarily owe the media or the fans anything when it comes to these scrimmages. Obviously, once the season starts, I think that fans and the media deserve a certain sense of transparency. And, you know, some coaches are better than others at delivering that. But before the season starts in the preseason, like, let them, like, do whatever they want. If they want to be paranoid, if they want to try and mess with the other team, scouting them and just make life difficult for them by changing the uniform numbers, like, I think that's totally within their right to do that. And I know it's something – I'm not just saying that because Hopkins has done that, like, every year since Petra's been – around. I mean, he's really into the disinformation campaigns. So yeah, I don't really mind it at all. And like you said, there are people on the internet who will, you know, look at the video and figure out who is who, if you really are curious to know about that, because
shout out to Hunva, who put the names out, you know, so he did all the work for us. So yeah, makes it even easier.
I know I was talking to you earlier that somebody told me that Connor DeSimone had a bunch of goals. So I got really excited, and I told you, and it sounds like, you know, he's ready to rock. It turns out somebody got his number wrong. It was really Joel Tinney who had 2 or 3 goals in that scrimmage. DeSimone still had one, by the way, but not as many as Tinney did. So, you know, it's still great to hear that Tinney is scoring. Like, either of those guys scoring goals, I'm fine with.
I was thinking, like, when you told me that, it was like those scenes in Fast and Furious where they hit the Nas. Like, I was so hyped up for the Eagles game, and then you told me, like, Connor scored 5 goals, and I was like, we're ready to go. Like, But either way, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still happy. Everybody, you know, Joel scored a bunch of goals, and Connor got on the board as well. You know who won't have a problem seeing Hopkins' numbers is a national audience, because JHU is back on ESPNU. We were worried there for a second. I won't lie. I wrote an impulsive post, which still stands, because at the time, Hopkins didn't have their deal with ESPN. But, you know, I thought Notre Dame was ESPN's new king of lacrosse. But the Jays are back with 8 ESPNU games. Adam, how happy were you with to see, you know, us back, you know, order restored, the Jays at the center of college lacrosse on ESPN.
The king stay the king.
No, you can't.
That's That's all that needs to be said, you know. Although I will say, the Notre Dame post that we did might have been jumping the gun a little bit, but they still have the same number of live games on ESPNU at 6. Hopkins has more when you count the Delaware and Princeton games, which will be live streamed on the app, but then tape delay aired on ESPNU the next day. So those technically aren't live on ESPNU. But if you count all games on the ESPN family of networks and the app, which counts ACC Network Extra, if you count all of that, Notre Dame still does have more. They have 10 or 11 or 12 or something that will be on either ESPNU, ESPN3, or ACC Network Extra, which is part of ESPN. So technically, the post still isn't wrong that Notre Dame still has the most.
They are also being, like, it's just an insurance policy. If something happens with the big and Hopkins goes fully big, you know, just something that disrupts the Hopkins television status. You know, you got Notre Dame right there, bang. You know, and people getting accustomed to them. But I was thinking, I know Hopkins kind of banged on a little bit online, which I love. I just love hearing them complain. But if you do look at the ratings, like some reruns do pull pretty good numbers. There was like last year's rerun of I think it was Syracuse, or maybe it was a 2016 game. I'll put the link out there. Got like 45,000 on the day after, you know, when they put it on TV on Sunday morning. So the Jays pull in ratings. I mean, what can you say? You know? win 44 championships, and then you'll get preferential treatment as well.
There's a few points I wanted to make on this topic. The first is, I mean, on the topic of people complaining about Hopkins being on TV so much. The first is, it's a contract. It is a mutually beneficial business contract. Hopkins wants to be on TV, just like any school that cares about their lacrosse team would want to be. And, you know, they've been really good at negotiating those deals. And ESPN wants Hopkins on their television channels because Hopkins is good for ESPN, because Hopkins has fans all over the country, because Hopkins plays a great schedule, because they play, you know, the best teams in the country. They play overtime games all the time. They've played over like 3 overtime games on ESPN last year alone. And like you said, I don't know the exact, like, I don't think there's any way of knowing exactly how good the ratings are. Because, you know, that information is pretty difficult to find online. If you're really interested in knowing, I'm sure you could do some research.
I'll let you finish, but go ahead.
Like, I'm assuming Hopkins lacrosse games do better ratings than, at the very least, than the average game, but certainly probably more than any other team.
No, there's this site called, like, Sports Zap Ratings. I'll put the link for the one article I was talking about, but they do a pretty decent job. But, like, it goes like Syracuse is like the individual mover. Like, you know, with their game on, they're going to probably pull 2 or 3 times, like, you know, a pretty competitive like Ivy game, or like then Hopkins is just like a notch under them. But certain games blow up, like Hopkins UVA, I believe, is still like the most watched game. Maybe it's changed with the last couple of championship games, but in the tournament. But Hopkins UVA in like 2012 was like the most watched game, period, on any ESPN platform at any time, because it was like 1 versus 2. So, you know, like Hopkins and Cuse is there, and then you have like the Maryland UVA stuff.
That was a great game.
It was wonderful.
I was at that game. It was fantastic. John Rannigan won it in overtime. Threw the goalie's legs, and Quint had that amazing call through the wickets.
I'll put that in the show links. And that's why people read the post for these eggs. But then my point is, say, like, yeah, there are certain teams that it's still a niche sport, but there are ones that do move dial a little bit. And Hopkins is towards the end that does.
And speaking of it being a niche sport, ESPN, you know, thank God they are willing to air lax lacrosse at all, but
hey man, shout out Paul.
The fact of the matter is ESPN still, like, compared to their annual budget and compared to like 95% of the other sports that they air live games for, the lacrosse budget is minuscule. It's like, it's nothing, it's trivial. So you have to understand that Hopkins, I mean, ESPN already has an apparatus at Homewood to film lacrosse games live. They have, you know, the infrastructure and logistics to make that happen year in and year out. They're not going to send crews every year, like, all over the country because it's really expensive.
Yeah.
So they're going to do, you know, what's feasible for them. And what's feasible for them right now is Homewood.
No, exactly. It was the old ABC 12 channel. And then Hopkins, you know, leveled up with ESPN. So everything's right there. And it's just obviously just the area. It's big for lacrosse. But we don't need to wallow in other Schadenfreude anymore. So, you know, a thing is really hot, though, is undeniable, are the new uniforms. Adam, I know you're a big fan of the new Under Armour gear.
Oh, my God. I am obsessed with the new uniforms and helmets. I don't know. I'm sure you can post a link, Instagram or whatever, in the story for this podcast. But they brought back the Cascade helmets, as everybody probably is aware of already. They had those, I must admit, ugly STX Stallion helmets the last couple of years. They're a little too bulky. You know, they're not exactly, you know, sleek and stylish, but they're bringing the good Cascade helmets back. They've got black helmets with blue wings on the side. Mm. They've got the silver helmets, the shiny silver helmets with the big Blue Jay logo.
I love that guy.
And I don't know if they have Columbia blue helmets this year or not. I'm assuming they'll have a third set, but I haven't seen a picture of them. And then the uniforms are pretty, like, throwback, classic style. They're kind of just simple, you know, one-tone color and then stripes on the side, on the sleeves. So I'm feeling the way that Hopkins looks this year. I don't know if you're a believer in look good, feel good, play good, but if you are, I think you should feel good about the Jays' upcoming season.
That's one area of I've never worried about the Jays. They've always had the crispest uniforms. I love the little J. I know not a big fan with some people on Lex Power, but it's always great whenever they come out with like new combinations. And some of the old school games, you remember they had like the 100th anniversary with Maryland. They both wore like old school bucket helmet style looking gear. It's, you know, I've never worried about how Hopkins looks before the game.
Yeah, I feel you. To be honest, I wasn't a fan of the team's look last year. I know a lot of people weren't, but I think this year they look much better, and hopefully that's reflected in a championship.
No, I agree. I know some guy who was looking really good in Hopkins gear was Lord Belichick at the Super Bowl. Shout out to you for sending me that link. That was a great picture. I was like, Coach knows me very well. It wavered a little bit. I was definitely all Eagles, but I was just like,
all he wanted you to do was question it for a second. All he was trying to do.
It was that meme where like the boyfriend or the girlfriend like does a double take, and see, so it was definitely like well played by the coach.
Yeah, somebody's got at Hopkins has to send him the new Under Armour stuff because he's still rocking the old Nike stuff. And that's not good for the brand. That's like some weird tension brand wise.
Are the Patriots a Nike team?
I have no clue.
Maybe it's just like trying to, you know, satisfy both brands. I was thinking, but I love that picture. You know, obviously it was a great game, but none of it was Lord Belichick's fault for sure. I'd like to close out with just a little bit of pop culture stuff. As everybody knows, Adam's a reporter for Quartz, and definitely has got some great articles recently. But before we go to your Academy Award recent article, I just want to ask you, have you seen the movie Shot Caller?
I have not seen the movie Shot Caller, no.
You should. It stars the Lord, Jamie Lannister, as this stockbroker for Pasadena that has to go to jail for vehicular manslaughter because he was driving while intoxicated. But it was a great film, just how someone gets institutionalized. And if you like kind of like Breaking Bad, Wire stuff, this is, you know, definitely right up your alley. So I always like to ask you, what was Adam watching? But I know you were watching the Academy Award nominations as they came in. I was like, what's your thoughts? Did you think anybody got robbed, or were you happy with the results?
Well, I mean, there were films that I wish were nominated, but I knew they weren't going to be. Like The Lost City of Z, which was probably my favorite movie of the last year. But, I mean, I knew it wasn't going to get nominated. So, I mean, of the field that was nominated, I think there's some good movies in there. It was a pretty expected year. There weren't too many big surprises. I'm glad to see that Dunkirk, I know you love Dunkirk. Dunkirk got a bunch of nominations, including Best Picture. And Christopher Nolan got his first Best Director nomination of all time, which is insane considering the movies that he's made, that he's never been nominated for Best Picture. I mean, for Best Director. So I feel like that was a long time coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you think of the hits, I was a little surprised. Before I get to some of the nominations, I just wanted to give a shout out to Tiffany Haddish when she was giving out the actual nominations. She was just recently in Eritrea, and I saw her kind of mess up some of the names. I was like, her mind was probably still on that beautiful Red Sea beach. But I was pretty happy to see Dunkirk get his due. I was wondering if you thought that the Gary Oldman World War II movie, forgive me, I forget the name now, if you think that that's going to take some juice away from Dunkirk and Darkest Hour, if you think that's going to take some juice away from Dunkirk for winning the Best Picture. Because in my opinion, I didn't see Phantom Thread or Lady Bird.
Right.
I was like, Dunkirk's the best movie of the year. Like, I mean, like, this is the end of story. Like, let's just move on to the next question.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a situation where they like split the votes, you know, because they're both World War II movies about, you know, this almost essentially the same thing. I don't think that's going to happen. Darkest Hour is like the last movie in the field, I think. So I don't think that's going to has any chance of winning. I do think, you know, the Academy voters really like Dunkirk, given the fact that it was nominated for so many different things and it got Nolan his first director nomination. That said, and I expect it to win, you know, a couple awards, but I think the best picture is between The Shape of Water and Lady Bird right now. I think those are the two favorites.
Really? Really?
Maybe Get Out. I would Get Out is probably the third place right now if I had to just guess. I think those three are your most likely. And then Dunkirk would probably be four. But you know, The Shape of Water was nominated for like 13 nominations, and more than any other movie, which usually means that it's going to be the favorite to win Best Picture.
Oh wow, that's a personal shocker. But I haven't seen the other movie, so maybe I'm totally wrong. But shout out to Christopher Nolan. Adam, this is a nice crisp episode. We want to give everyone just
crisp.
A nice, you know, a little taste before the game. Maybe we'll do, emergency Arsenal-like podcast after hopefully the Jays are victorious over Tigers. But always good talking to you. I hope everything's going well up in New York. I'll send you some pictures from the parade tomorrow.
Sounds good. Tidy podcast.
I knew it was going to be a great show. I was walking in. There was literally a high school band like playing the Eagles fight song just down 13th Street as I was coming in. So I was like, all right, this is going to be a great one. But always great talking to you. Go Jays. And, look for the next episode of the Black and Blue Jay Podfidential coming soon.
See ya.